This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
Voters are divided. It has now become a contest where issues, facts, policies per se don't matter as much as identity and wanting to beat the other guy.
That's former President Barack Obama on 60 Minutes this week, one stop on a long press tour for his new 701-page memoir. Until the latter days of the election, Obama seldom weighed in on the divisiveness of his successor, though some of his former White House staff made new careers trolling Trump.
I'm going to throw some shade tonight, if that's okay. But I want to tell you first how I got there.
There is a lot going on in the documentary The Way I See It, about the work of Obama's chief White House photographer and latter-day Instagram influencer, Pete Souza. The film, now available on Peacock, chronicles Souza's journey from photojournalist to in-house documenter of history in progress in the Reagan and Obama administrations to, let's say, photo polemicist. There is the showcase of Souza's work that ranges from capable to poignant to poetic. There is the nostalgia for presidents who, whatever their policies, understood the gravity of their office. And there is the sort of history porn, the vicarious thrill of proximity to power. Pete Souza is here to talk it all through. Pete, welcome to On the Media.
Thanks for having me on, Bob.
These pictures kind of get your heart racing. You are there with Reagan and Gorbachev.
Five ways of photography.
Wall photographer. Тоже знакомо.
Well, this is familiar.
With Obama meeting Pope Francis and Nelson Mandela and Malala Yousafzai and hugging the Sandy Hook families. Did you feel yourself getting goosebumps?
Oh, for sure. I would say mostly during the Reagan administration because, you know, I was a young guy just kind of basically starting out my career, and suddenly I'm in the room where it happens.
The whole thing, I gather, is always to be around the president, but scarcely to be noticed. Not like some human security cam, because your most compelling photos capture drama, pathos, and sometimes just raw humanity. There's one iconic image of President Obama bending over near the Resolute desk for a five-year-old visitor so that the little boy could just touch his hair. What was going on?
The little boy was Jacob Philadelphia, and he had come in with his family. His dad had worked for the National Security Staff, and he was about to leave the White House. And President Obama invited the family in for keepsake photographs standing in front of the desk, the grip and grin, we call it. Jacob's mom said that Jacob had a question, and Jacob's question was along the lines of that his friends had told him that his haircut was just like President Obama's. And with that, President Obama bent over and Jacob touched his head. It was one of those unexpected, fleeting moments. My composition is not that great, but fortunately I caught the precise moment when he did touch President Obama's head. I only have one frame. That's how quick it happened.
This wasn't like Bill Clinton playing sax on Arsenio. It was a casual, impromptu, and just very touching instant of surrender of presidential majesty that you were lucky enough to catch.
Well, I was lucky enough to catch, but I've prepared myself for moments like that my whole life. And when these fleeting moments happen, You have to anticipate them. And fortunately, I didn't screw it up. Because I think the picture is important, not just to that kid, but to all kids of color, that they see a young African-American boy touching the head of the President of the United States that looks like him. And I think that's why that picture has resonated with so many people.
So many such fleeting moments. Near the beginning of the film, we see you during your first White House tour with Ronald Reagan. I think on his ranch in a silly exchange with the First Lady.
Now, do you want us on either side of the tree or what?
Well, for release purposes, it'd be better to have you doing something. And my suggestion was watering the tree. We have two shovels. We have a chainsaw.
No, please. Pete, it's too hot.
Did you get that, Pete?
Yeah.
You did, huh?
When you worked for him, you weren't particularly caught up in politics at the time, but you also weren't a Reaganite. And he was a hard president to be neutral about. When, for example, he was ignoring the AIDS epidemic, or during the Iran-Contra scandal, or when he was demonizing supposed welfare queens, were you able to compartmentalize and just put your whatever personal political feelings you had entirely aside as you went about your business?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I sort of feel that I was not as educated as I should have been about the AIDS crisis. And I think that's probably true of Reagan as well. I did think during the Iran-Contra scandal that he had done something wrong.
But you kept your trap shut and kept on shooting, right?
Yeah. During the Iran-Contra scandal, I was always pushing to be in the room when it was going down. And I do think that I made some pictures during that scandal that really elevate the imagery for history. I mean, I've got that picture before he announces to the public that they had found that proceeds from the arms sales to Iran had been diverted to the Contras, and you can see the pained look on everybody's faces. And then months later, when the Tower Commission made their report to him in person, and you see that anguished look on his face as John Tower concludes that Reagan, in fact, did trade arms for hostages. I did as best I could for history under the circumstances.
I'll ask you the same questions about Obama. His 8 years in office did leave some things to answer for. Mass deportations of undocumented immigrants, prosecutions of journalists, many extrajudicial drone strikes. Your body of work, not literally, but essentially, has a kind of gauzy filter to it, not unlike the Camelot vibe of the Kennedy years. It's definitely not warts and all, right?
I disagree 100%.
Tell me.
Well, I mean, I think if you even go through the many pictures we posted on the Flickr photo stream every month, behind the scenes pictures, I think you see him anguishing about these decisions. So much so that many of the photographs that we posted publicly on Flickr were years later used out of context in attack ads by the GOP because it made him look as if he was not the Camelot that you describe.
There was a bit of a paradox about him, documentation-wise. He gave you almost total access, not only to his work time, but even a great deal of his family time. But equally, he was very stingy with the press corps, not just for answering questions, but even photo ops. Did that occur to you at the time?
The administration made a mistake on the very first day where they didn't allow news photographers to be present when Obama walked into the Oval Office for the first time. That set people off right away. That's not my role, but I should have said something to the press office. And I can only think of like a couple or two or three other times during the 8 years where they made mistakes like that. I think the complaint more was that I happened to be the photographer and President Obama happened to be the president when social media exploded. And the administration took advantage of social media by using my pictures. And I think that pissed off a lot of the press corps.
I want to ask you about the flip side, and not to trigger you or anything, but one thing you can say about Donald Trump is that he has constantly been available to the press. He lies to us, and he calls us traitors, but you know, he's available. But he has no Pete Souza fly on the wall of his presidency. There seem to be hardly any candid presidential photos to document his term in office.
Well, I mean, he does have a chief official White House photographer, and they have three or four other White House photographers that are documenting his presidency. I have no inside knowledge of what their access is like. We don't see hardly any behind-the-scenes moments or human moments of him interacting with other people. But you're right. Although he hasn't in the last 2 weeks made himself available for questions, ironically. But when it fits his advantage, you do see him spouting off quite a bit. And I think you can make the argument that that diminishes the presidency to be out there every day spouting off. I can remember during the Reagan administration where there'd be 3 or 4 or 5 days would go by and the press wouldn't see Reagan. And I remember I ran into Helen Thomas running between my office and the Oval Office outside the press office one time.
This is the UPI correspondent who was in the White House briefing room for decades.
For decades. I mean, she was considered the dean of the White House press corps. She cornered me and she wanted to know if I had seen President Reagan and had he had a heart attack or something. Why haven't we seen him? It'll be interesting in years to come how people reflect on Trump's press conferences and the lies that were told during them. But I think it keeps the press happy that he, up until 2 weeks ago, made himself available quite a bit.
All right. Now, this gets to the reason I said triggered in my previous question. And it gets to the whole raison d'etre behind the way I see it.
When I first met Pete, his politics were not at all evident. You know, I always wondered, what did Pete Souza get from President Obama? Like, how did he change? You know, the feeling that he could no longer be this fly on the wall.
That's photo editor Alice Gabriner, who for 2 years was your colleague in the Obama White House, in this film talking about a new Pete Souza, a transformation in you that did not go unnoticed elsewhere.
Pete Souza is a very unlikely Instagram superstar, attracting millions of followers after he started replying to President Trump's tweets by posting Obama White House photos. Along with snarky captions, it's earned him the moniker the King of Shade.
Yeah, there had been things stirring up inside of me between Election Day in 2016 and the inauguration. I felt that Trump was a vigorista. That's a Portuguese word that loosely translated means con man. You know, my initial posts on Instagram showing pictures from the Obama administration contrasted with somewhat subtle and humorous captions caught a lot of attention. And then as the months and years went by, my commentary became even more pointed as I could see the disrespect and the lack of dignity that he was showing to the office. And I was really offended by it.
And 3 million followers, nearly, offended right along with you. From fly on the wall to 900-pound social media gorilla.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I was talking to David Axelrod, former political strategist for Obama, and he said that I was the least likely person working at the Obama administration that he would have expected to have, you know, gained the kind of attention that I did. Yeah, because I was like this behind-the-scenes guy. I never gave interviews. I didn't really want to be known. And then suddenly, you know, now.
Those early scenes with the Reagans in the film seem to serve a purpose. They demonstrate that your disgust with Trump isn't about policy or politics necessarily, but character or the lack thereof.
It's not about partisanship. I wouldn't have been doing this if someone like John McCain or Mitt Romney or Jeb Bush or John Kasich or a whole host of other Republicans had become president. I may have disagreed with them fundamentally on some of their policies, but I don't think I would have been as outraged about them as human beings as I am about Donald Trump.
You were offended by Trump as a human being, but also, more specifically, as a photographer. In the film, you showed the picture of Barack Obama and his national security team huddled in the Situation Room as they waited for the bin Laden operation to unfold. The tension in your images is palpable. You compare that to the Trump Situation Room in similar circumstances, the fatal drone strike on ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi.
Breaking news that the world's most wanted man has been killed in a mission led by United States Special Forces.
President Trump laying out what he watched as he started to view this operation in the Situation Room.
You look at the photo that the White House released, which seems to mimic your iconic Obama photo, but something looks fishy to you.
Well, I mean, to me, it looks posed. It looks like they're looking at the camera. And, you know, if you look at the timeline, you can tell in the embedded information that the picture was taken like 40 minutes before the Special Forces guys even landed to conduct the raid. Thus, I question the caption as well.
Can we go back for a second to a moment with much lower stakes? I want to ask you about the photo that day on the Reagan Ranch where the president and the first lady were clowning around about the president, you know, trying to chainsaw down a tree. It's cute, but the whole process was also staging a photo.
Mm-hmm.
I cringed when I saw it. Should I have?
I cringed too. I cringed too.
Was that some previous version of Pete Souza?
No, I don't think that was a previous version of Pete Souza. I think that it was sort of just a different outlook for the Reagan administration than it was for the Obama administration.
So what is the White House photographer's job to begin with? It isn't journalism. You work for your photo subjects, and your work is released by the White House as it sees fit to advance its narrative. But you also don't see yourself as a PR guy. And you're also not quite a historian, again, because the photo history is curated by the government. What breed of animal is the chief official White House photographer?
The job is to document, visually document, the presidency for history. I will call whoever does become the new White House photographer, and I will offer some advice and counsel to this person about making sure that he or she needs to have a conversation with Biden directly about making sure that he or she has access to every meeting, whether it's a national security meeting or not, that they have the right security clearance to be able to be in those meetings when they're talking about real stuff, and to not lose sight of all your pictures end up at the National Archives and your job is for history. You know, the administration is going to want to use this person's pictures for social media and whatnot. That's not the most important part of the job. The most important part of the job is to make sure you're documenting what's taking place for history.
Pete, I'm going to thank you very much.
Oh, thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Pete Souza is now a freelance photographer, former chief official White House photographer, author of Shade, Tale of Two Presidents, and star of the documentary, The Way I See It. That's it for this week's show. On the Media is produced by Alana Casanova-Burgess, Michael Lowinger, Leah Fetter, John Hanrahan, and Eloise Blondio, with help from Abba Sasani. Zandra Ellen writes our newsletter. Our engineers this week were Adrian Lilly and Josh Hahn. Katya Rogers is our executive producer. On the Media is a production of WNYC Studios. Brooke Gladstone will be back next week. I'm Bob Garfield.